Dearly beloved in Christ, first of all, I would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas. We have passed through the relatively short season of Advent already, and now we welcome our Lord's birthday, the commemoration of his entrance into this world on the day that we call Christmas. We should be filled with admiration, love, and gratitude toward the infant King lying in a manger for love of us, ultimately to redeem us and open the gates of heaven. What better way would be possible to celebrate our Lord's birth than to attend Mass on this day and to remain in quiet prayer before his real presence in the tabernacle? Over 2,000 years ago, shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night saw the star indicating where Jesus was born and came to quietly contemplate this miracle. The Messiah had come at last. Surely they all knew in their hearts that this was the chosen one. The babe before them, lying in a manger in swaddling clothes, was to be their Redeemer. And to this day, we gather to commemorate this wondrous, magnanimous, humbling act of God to send his only begotten Son to walk among men. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. This quote is, of course, taken from the Gospel of St. John, typically called the last Gospel, because although it is taken from the first chapter of St. John the Apostle, it is the final prayer of the Mass and the last of two Gospels read during Mass. But at the third Mass, this third Mass of Christmas, we pray the last Gospel of St. John first, and then in the place of the last Gospel at the end, will be said the gospel from the Feast of the Epiphany. But for the remainder of this sermon, I would like to focus on the qualities that we see in the infant Jesus. One meditation book points out that we see sweetness and love. We also see poverty and suffering, humility and gentleness. And I would like to concentrate on these qualities of the Christ child because it is important for us to form our own lives after the example of Christ. And here he has certainly given us abundant example. Of course, this idea of imitating our Lord in our own persons, becoming an alter Christus, another Christ, is foremost in the minds of religious and clerics. But this practice, these virtues, must also be cultivated by the faithful who are a part of the mystical body of Christ. We look first at sweetness and love, affability, charity, a cheerful disposition. We've all heard the famous quote from St. Paul, God loves a cheerful giver, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. But verses 6 to 9 of the same chapter enrich the quote. It says, mark this, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Let each one give according as he has determined in his heart, not grudgingly or for compulsion, but for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound in you, so that always you have ample means and abound in every good work, as it is written. He has scattered abroad and has given to the poor his justice. Also, God's love for us should be mutual and reciprocal. Of course, we can never match God in his generosity. Tanquary says, we must return God's love with a love that is as perfect as possible. Our love must be forever growing, placing no limits to our affection for him and refusing him no sacrifice. Our love must be generous, not allowing our hearts to become entangled in worldly affections that would only hinder love for God. And our love must be disinterested or simple. We love God not because of the rewards, but we love him for his own sake. In this way, in spite of our weakness in returning God's love, we can respond to his friendship. But imagine not loving the infant king lying in the manger in suffering and humiliation that he might save us. He clearly loves us so much. But how do we return this love? What shall I repay the Lord for all the things he has given me? An author on a meditation for the Feast of the Nativity says, God, creator of the world, became a little infant, stripped of all the splendor of his divinity, that he might take away all fear from us and draw all hearts to him. What love, thus, to annihilate himself for us, and how he loves us. Who can contemplate this divine child, whose love has made him come down from heaven into the stable, that he may raise us to heaven, and not love him in return? Who can hear the language of his loving and compassionate heart and not be filled with feelings of the sweetest and most entire confidence, whatever may have been his past unfaithfulness? With regards to his suffering and poverty, the meditation says, contemplate the place of his birth. What do you see? An abandoned stable, open to the wind, a manger, and in it a little straw. Such is the cradle of the newborn child, Jesus our Savior. What poverty and what suffering. Thus then, from his entrance into this world, he fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, namely, that he is a man of sorrows. Our Lord certainly could have arrived into this world in the midst of wealth and comfort, but we must assume that since he did not, he wished to show us that we are to care nothing for this world, setting our hearts only on our final goal of reaching heaven and becoming pleasing to God and following his example by embracing poverty and mortification. Lastly, we look to the humility and gentleness of our infant Messiah. We must learn from Jesus humility, meekness, and mildness. We're not all of this temperament naturally. Some may find it hard to be caring and kind toward others. Let us look to the child Jesus lying helpless in the manger, subjecting himself to the humiliations and dangers of the evil whims of men. And we know this because an angel appeared to Joseph and told the Holy Family to flee into Egypt in order to escape the murderous onslaught of Herod, who told the Magi that he too wished to adore the King of Kings. Of course, honoring the divine infant was the last thing on Herod's mind. But the point is, God could have slain the evil men who came to murder him outright. Instead, we see Mary and Joseph fleeing to avoid persecution. So, dear friends in Christ, as we rejoice and celebrate or partake of much-needed rest, let us also contemplate the lessons Jesus teaches us, even from his crib, wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger. Let us be cheerful and generous with God and men. Let us embrace poverty and suffering with resignation, knowing that he too suffered want and physical pain. And finally, let us be meek and humble of heart, kind toward others and strict with ourselves, that we may imitate the Christ child and thus sanctify these next 12 days of Christmas. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.